Good evening. This is Mae Bressel. A little rattling of noise here. It's broadcast number 662. It's August the 13th, 1984. Before I begin the broadcast, I do want to thank you for letters, a lot of letters. I couldn't answer the telephone this past week. I've been away all week. I left at 6 in the morning after last week's broadcast, and there was a lot of concern, and people sent notes and started calling last night when I came in Sunday night. If I don't answer mail or answer telephones for the next 6 weeks, please forgive me, unless it's absolutely important. I either not available or I'm not in town, but don't worry about me. If there's no answers here, I'm okay. This is the time of year that many of you know I take off. We go down to Big Sur camping. I spend time with my family and friends. There isn't much time during the year to rush around. We rush, so this is the traditional time that I do these things, and I may try to get up to Canada, my property up in Canada, and then down to L.A. to see my mother. I've got a couple of weeks earmarked for that. So between now and the third week in September, I really will not be around that much, but don't be concerned. Everything is okay, and I'm just, as I say, setting that time aside. We usually do, and it's okay. Now, on the broadcast spot time that from 8 to 9, where World Watchers is on and Kazoo, what I am doing, for those of you who are out of town and subscribe to these cassettes, I'm putting on the Spoken Arts Records, the collection I have, keeping that time slot open Monday from 8 to 9. We're starting with the Checkers speech, the Richard Nixon speech when he was wanted to be vice president along with President Eisenhower. And it's very important because he greased his way into the hearts of people with simple little tales. It's really comical and sad at the same time. On the other side of that record is the resignation speech, August the 8th, 1974. After all the efforts, he finally got what he wanted and then had to get out. And that's pertinent to the situation going. It applies to, or can relate to, the situation of the GOP convention taking place just this time, this next week, in Dallas, Texas, the most obscene arrangement on the 20th anniversary of the murder of John Kennedy that I can imagine. Ronald Reagan flew from London at the time, right after Roberta Calvi was murdered in June 82, that exact time. He flew from there to Texas to make the arrangement to make sure it would be in Dallas. And when Calvi was killed, his buddy was tied up with Licio Gelli, who helped finance Reagan and attended the first inauguration. And Gelli, just a year ago this week, walked out of the jail in Switzerland, back down to South America by way of Switzerland to France to South America. He won't be at that inauguration. Maybe he will be. He can easily disguise himself and come in with Joseph Mengele, and 20 years later he'll read that also. So just Gelli has tied up that money. His money was tied up when he went to the bank to draw out millions of dollars in Switzerland. He'd been arrested, fled again. The dummy fronts in Panama with the $1.2 billion have never been exposed for what the purposes that the money was used or who it went to. That's the important thing. Who did it go to and what were they going to do with it? The Vatican made their token gesture to the banks for what the Ambrosiano lost. So there was a lot of money tied up. Michael Sindona had worked with Richard Nixon, Gelli with Ronald Reagan. Calvi is killed, the president of Banco Ambrosiano. Reagan flies to Dallas. So now the party begins. It's 20 years later. But before we get into the GOP party and on to the appointments of Ronald Reagan, and I want to continue that I started a week and a half, 2 weeks ago rather, I do want to bring up what we were talking about just a year ago this week, because it's pertinent, again, to what is taking place right now. As I say, Licio Gelli fled. Mr. Grace, W.R. Grace, purchased a share of Sambo's, be called Godfather Pizza. More on that, and Mr. Grace, of course, on later broadcasts. I'm not going to spend time on him tonight. But on broadcast 610, August 15th, 1983, I went at length to draw a large diagram or chart of the relationship. And this is very important to the Dallas story now and then, of Alan Dulles of the OSS, Dulles then on the Warren Commission, SS Carl Wolf, to Reinhardt Galen, whose Galen's agents were and are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, thick, and in Houston, of course, but instrumental to the murder of Kennedy, and to the relationship of Henry Kissinger, still in power and probably get a bigger job when Reagan's reelected, to Klaus Barbie and down to Bolivia, and to the fiancés of death. There are three death squads important to keeping power. We have our death squads in the United States, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. Today's newspaper has the story of the threatened death of Hubert Humphrey. He would have been murdered, Eugene McCarthy would have been murdered. If anybody stood in the way of Richard Nixon in 1968, anybody would have been murdered. We'll do more on the Humphrey death threats, because if he wasn't killed, he got his cancer, he's out of the way. A lot more on that soon. But those men were definitely threatened, and by a group from the Rangers and the Cubans. Know how carefully they don't say anti-Castro Cubans, Cubans. But I talked about death squads of the fiancés of death in Bolivia, of Stephen Della Chia, C-H-I-A-I-E, from Spain, the guerrillas of Christ the King. From Spain came Otto Skorzeny, and the CIA joined Della Chia. He's wanted for the murders in Bologna, along with Licio Gelli, for killing 80 people. And the 3A, not the Auto Club, Argentina, the Anti-Communist Alliance, that's the 3A, Jose Lopez Rega. And I was making the connection of Della Chia to Henry Kissinger. This is very important, and the Masonic Lodge in Monte Carlo, the fascist group of Gelli, Chia, and Kissinger in Monte Carlo. And also a year ago this week, the on that same diagram, is the Permandex group, the Masonic Lodge, that linked the two Klaus Barbie and the terrorist team. It's a very simplistic chart of these relationships of people to banks in Panama, to death squads, their links to Joseph Mengele, Klaus Barbie, Martin Bormann, and the name Della Chia is important. A new book has come out. A World Watcher subscriber, who is one of my favorite researchers, got me a book that just came out in London by Stuart Christie, Stefano Della Chia, Portrait of a Black Terrorist. Now, all of these names are important because I'm going back to this Miss Taylor, who was appointed to the National Endowment for Humanities by Ronald Reagan. When you put somebody on like Helen Marie Taylor, from Western Goals, who works with Mr. Sinlaub, John Sinlaub of the World Anti-Communist League, he works with Stefano Della Chia's network, so that the LAPD group, the Western Goals, carries the name and is funded by Helen Marie Taylor. She's one of the people that helps fund it, and it makes a full circle back to Chia. But in the 1 year since I tried to explain some of these connections on the air, and I update them all the time, this book has been published by a group called Anarchy Magazine Publications from London, 1984. It just came out, and I have on the sheet that accompanies this tape the address of where you can send for it. And there were some copies. There are in bookstores in New York. Try and ask for it in the United States if you can. Now, the book begins with a chronology, and I'm not going to do a whole broadcast this evening on the book, because there's so much material. I could take 3 pages every week and share them with you and tie them together to a lot of other material we've covered or new material. But I want to whet your appetite with this information and two other references. The chronology that he has, July the 9th, 1943, you can overlay that with a book, The Nazis Go Underground, whereby January 1943, they weren't going to win against the Soviet Union and retrench. He says 9th of July 1943, the Allies land in Sicily, flying Mafia colors. The Germans retreat a little bit back up to Naples. July 25th, 1943, that's just 3 weeks later. 2 weeks later, Mussolini and Hitler have talks, and shortly after that, Mussolini was arrested. In September of 1943, Otto Skorzeny, who's later to work for the Central Intelligence Agency and help Chia set up the death squads, frees Mussolini. Hitler wanted him to. And in June of 1944, this is just 1 year, less a month, when the war was officially over, the Allies went to Rome. The command of OSS was under Colonel Clifton T. Carter, an admirer of Marshal Pietro Badoglio, B-A-D-O-G-L-I-O, the Italian Army Chief of Staff who led the assault on Ethiopia. Little test case for the future. Just like we test case Grenada to take over Central America, if we want. And we've had a lot of test cases. One was Allende in Chile, and Orlando Letelier in Washington, D.C. Okay, Badoglio is a former Army Chief of Staff, and Carter's executive officer, this is the OSS chief, his executive officer in Italy was Major James H. Angleton, A-N-G-L-E-T-O-N, who was living in Milan working for the National Cash Register Company. This is in the new book. It says Carter then sent his executive son, James Jesus Angleton, you know that name, very much linked to a year ago's broadcast to the Permandex, the John Kennedy assassination. He sent his son, who had studied in Italy prior to the war, you bet your bottom dollar he did, up to the time he was to come home and be recruited into Army intelligence, and he had close right-wing and neo-fascist connections. He stayed in Rome up to the time he comes back to the United States, gets into Army uniform identical to Fritz Kramer going from Italy, from Rome, to the United States, to an Army intelligence uniform with his monocle, German from Frankfurt to Italy, to recruit Henry Kissinger from Germany to New York to Army intelligence, where Kramer picks up Kissinger from Italy, from the Vatican, for connections close to the Pope, funding Adolf Hitler in Milan with the Milan Mafia, Angleton's daddy, James H. Angleton, and in comes this group from into Army intelligence, James Jesus Angleton, Fritz Kramer, Henry Kissinger. He doesn't have Kramer and Kissinger in this chronology. He has Carter sends his executive's officer's son, James Jesus Angleton, who studied in Italy prior to the war and had close right-wing connections and fascist connections to Rome, to head the special operations section. That's how James Angleton got there, of the OSS. And from the moment he arrived in Rome, Angleton reestablishes his close contact with his fascist and right-wing organizations and his clandestine anti-communist movements. And from those ranks, he recruits his special personnel. So when Reinhard Gehlen takes Mr. Wolf and Walter Rauf and Klaus Barbie and Joseph Mengele and Bormann and the whole top echelon and Herman Abst and the whole gang that's at the Vatican Bank now, when they take the whole high echelon of the upper class of the Nazis, the industrialists, the thinkers, the managers, Angleton could pull the Italian group and Gehlen could pull the German group, and they merged in an organization paid by the American taxpayers known as the Central Intelligence Agency. And then this book, just in the chronology, tells that April 25th, 1945, this is just a week before the war is officially over, May the 8th, Admiral Ellery Stone, U.S. proconsul in occupied Italy, instructs James Jesus Angleton to rescue Prince Valerio Borghese, B-O-R-G-H-E-S-E, known as the Black Prince. Admiral Stone was a close friend of the Borghese family. Borghese was known during the war as a hero with his exploits as a frogman and with frogmen and miniature submarines that blew up Allied shipping. Admiral Ellery Stone, Navy Intelligence, Borghese, Angleton, and remember Navy Intelligence and John Paisley and Oswald was in Navy Intelligence from the Marines and then into Russia and Soviet Union and then out with admirals when he came back in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with Navy Intelligence. That chronology, Mr. Angleton was instructed to rescue Mr. Borghese, and Mr. Borghese then was put into a United States Army officer's uniform and escorted to Rome. And a few weeks later, Reinhard Gehlen was put in an American officer's uniform and escorted to Washington, D.C. And there, one is from Rome, one is from Germany, and then Angleton becomes one of the top bosses of covert operations for Reinhard Gehlen when he forms the CIA. But James Jesus Angleton was very much a part of the Vatican connections. He then goes on to take over the Otto von Bolschwing network, the Eichmann network, in what was Palestine, to turn it into Israel and keep control so our intelligence operations had a handle on Israel. Now, in a very interesting but simplistic book on Mr. Engleton, and there are many on Engleton, I just want to read you a couple of pages because to show you, just for the purpose of showing you how simplistic some biographies are based upon some very new information coming out of London. This book on Stefano Della Chè comes out of London. This is Playboy Press, if you can compare that to this new edition. Incidentally, this must be their first. It's called Black Papers Number 1, Anarchy Magazine. We'll have to start sending for that. The book Wilderness of Mirrors is about the biography of James Jesus Angleton, published by David Martin, 1980, and it was first part of it was appearing in Playboy Press, and Harper and Row published it. Just as a sample of the way the account goes, these are the first two pages of Chapter 2, some highlights on James Jesus Angleton. If you didn't know that James H. Angleton lived in Milan, this is the way the story goes. It's chapter's called The Poet and the Cop. James Jesus Angleton, he said he was a breed apart. He was the firstborn son of Hugh Angleton. That's James H. Angleton. Hugh Angleton, a man who moved west to Idaho not long after the turn of the century and went off to Mexico in the pursuit of Pancho Villa. There he took a wife, a 17-year-old Mexican beauty, and brought her home to Boise, Idaho, where James Jesus was born in 1917. A sickly child and so forth, then lived in Arizona, tuberculosis when James Jesus Angleton was 16 years old. That would be in 1933, the year that Adolf Hitler came to power. Hugh Angleton moved his family to Italy to seek his fortune, which he found in Milan as head of the National Cash Register. His eldest son went off to Malvern College in England and then to Yale University. Okay, now Fritz Kramer had a brother that also went to London while Fritz Kramer went to Italy, and this person was in Italy, that family at the time of the rise of Mussolini up to the time the Pearl Harbor bombed. How long were they living in Milan? The headquarters of Banco Ambrosiano, of Roberta Calvi, of Michael Sindona, of the Milan Mafia, of Pope Paul VI, Montini, who was exiled at the final conclave by Malachi Martin, gives the best description of how he was exiled as part of the Milan Mafia until he became Pope Paul VI. And remember, as Secretary of the Vatican, Pope Paul VI, he was Montini, was in Rome writing passports for Nazis when John Paul II was Mr. Carol Wattella working for I.G. Farben from Solvay Chemical. He wasn't yet Pope, the Polish Pope. He was the Auschwitz actor when Ronald Reagan was the actor at Warner Brothers with Gestapo member Errol Flynn, acting at the same time. But it's very important to see how these people affect history later. And James Jesus goes to London, and then he goes to Yale University, and he writes, he's very interested in fly casting, poetry, and Ezra Pound. Isn't that a cute chapter heading the poet? He goes from Yale to Harvard Law. This is Angleton, and soon his crony, Henry Kissinger, who he works with the intelligence community, will be brought to Harvard by Fritz Kramer. Goodness knows if these families knew each other, London, Rome, or where, because Fritz Kramer handpicks, and John J. McCloy handpicked Henry Kissinger for Harvard. And this book on Angleton says it was not until 1943 that an intelligent professor, Norman Holmes Pearson of Yale, recruited his former student into X2, or counterintelligence branch of the Office of Strategic Service. Now, Yale was the home of William Buckley and a lot of very, very important intelligence, spy intelligence, Knights of Malta characters. He also was a Knight of Malta, William Buckley, James Buckley, Vernon Walters, who last week, just this week, Vernon Walters wouldn't guarantee that we don't invade Central America. He runs the Central American desk and the Moroccan desk from the Vatican desk. Angleton went to Harvard, and his Yale professor said, put him in the OSS, which this author describes as an ad hoc aggregation of scholars, aristocrats, and eccentrics. He began his OSS work with 2 weeks of basic training in Maryland. And another recruit into the OSS was Dr. Bruno Uberti, a refugee from fascist Italy, a classmate of military intelligence, and then there to go to Europe. So 1943 was a busy year. Fritz Kramer was put into military intelligence down in moving around the Southwest to handpick Henry Kissinger. Kissinger was army intelligence. Angleton, Kramer coming from Italy, from Germany to Italy to Washington to pick up his uniform. Angleton from Rome to the United States to pick up his uniform. Henry Kissinger from Germany, like Kramer, only instead of going to Italy, he went to New York, down to the South to put on his army uniform, and all three of them are to meet with the top Nazis and the team members like Mr. Galen, General Galen, and Angleton would be knighted, and the team members would meet up in Oberammergau, and soon John J. McCloy would release the Nazis that were picked up, Otto Ambrose, the partner of J. Peter Grace, and so forth. Angleton's name has been mentioned many times in conjunction with the murder of John Kennedy. His name is linked, and his picture is in this book, many pictures of them, with Mr. Borghese, described in the Permandex by Paris Flamand in the Torbett document. So we're getting closer to the pieces of the Kennedy assassination with every single book that comes out, every name. And when we update these year by year and week by week, you'll see how nicely they all fit together. Now, the convention will be in Dallas, and by the time any of you get these tapes, it will be over. But there are two points or three that I want to mention about the location of that city. The first is that as soon as they arrive or have arrived there on Saturday, they're going to have a party take them from Dallas to Billy Bob's Saloon. That's down in Fort Worth. It holds 5,000 people with a rodeo ring indoors and live bulls. You can ride it and be a macho John Wayne Western image of what Ronald Reagan wants to project. No quiche at this crowd, I'll tell you. They're going to be whipping the bull. That's what it's about. And incidentally, speaking of no quiche, you might have read that Ronald Reagan's warm-up for his weekly television broadcast was the fact that Russia will no longer be allowed to exist. The atomic bombs begin, bombing begins in 5 minutes. That was a great joke for this week, and apropos of a full circle from the coup in Dallas, where he's returning back to Dallas, to his being on the committee, to gearing for World War III and having to do all these murders for the purpose of wiping out Russia. That's his warm-up, and I can give you the direct words if you want, but I think you get the gist that before he went on the air, he gave his little speech and rehearsed it. Tongue-in-cheek, I doubt it, given the contracts. So now they're going, or it will have been, to Billy Bob's to hit the cows or to vicariously watch somebody get excited jumping off those bulls himself. That must be a delight to everybody in Fort Worth. And then on Sunday, the party at the home of H.L. Hunt. I'm sure he would love to be there to see Ronald Reagan, the whole gang, 20 years later. Too bad he died before this party. But the widow has opened up the home. It's a replica of Mount Vernon. It's the home of George Washington, only in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. H.L. Hunt publishes the John Birch Society literature with Mr. Oliver, or Olivia, O-L-I-V-E-R. The picture of this man, this Nazi that works for him, is in books photographed side by side with Otto Skorzeny, the pal of Delachaye. You can see him, Mr. Oliver, and he writes and did write for him. He was taken off the Birch Society literature when he said all Jews should be gassed. That was at some 4th of July celebration a while back. But his mind didn't change. They just didn't want him visibly saying that kind of thing. The Skorzeny-Delachaye network goes from Munich, Germany, to Dallas, Texas. The Young Americans Serve Freedom to Robert Morris, another Sovereign Military Order of Malta, a Vatican knight. And so they have to have a duplicate in Dallas, Texas. where Hunt had this imaginative idea that he was the first president of the United States. Lyndon Johnson, who took over the presidency after Kennedy was murdered, built his office in Austin that was an exact duplicate of the White House. Maybe if you don't know that, the Oval Office. So they do have expensive fantasies in Dallas. I might say that Reagan has had fantasies that he was in the army troops that went into the concentration camps at Auschwitz or Dachau when they were first seen, but he actually wasn't there. Maybe they should duplicate with bones and real corpses what a concentration camp is like and let him stay there and everyone live out their fantasies. If you're going to really do this, they ought to do it right. But this is the GOP convention, and enough of that. I do have to reiterate, for those of you who don't remember, that in 1975, on June 6, 1975, there was a commission on CIA activities within the United States that just concluded another investigation, the second investigation into who murdered John Kennedy and was the CIA involved. And this time they had Vice President Nelson Rockefeller as chairman, Gerald Ford from the Warren Commission appointed Rockefeller as chairman after Crook Nixon succeeded in helping with the killing or the covering up of the killing and even the planning of John Kennedy in Dallas just prior to the assassination. Nixon again involved. He puts Ford on the Warren Commission, and then when Nixon's out, Ford puts Rockefeller as vice president, and he headed that investigation in 1975. And the executive director of the investigation was David W. Bellin, who was on the Warren Commission the first time. Now, if you covered up the first time and you have to spend money the second time, you don't use the same lawyer the second time, or do you? Of course you do, just like they use Leon Jaworski for the Warren Commission, for the Nuremberg trials, for the Korea Gate, and for the Senate Watergate. Until he's dead, he's used for everything because it always involves the same people, and he doesn't have to learn any new names. So the convention will go on with Ronald Reagan, who in 1975 signed his signature as a participant. He didn't go to many meetings, but he was glad to sign it, of the covering up of Kennedy. And then now they can rattle the ghosts, sit on the bulls, get rattle the ghosts down in Texas. Now we'll go on with the appointments of Ronald Reagan, because they again make a full cycle down to Stefano Della Chiae, and one of them in particular is a woman I left off with last week but can't do enough about. That's Helen Marie Taylor from the National Council on Humanities, broadcast number 660, 2 weeks ago, July 30th, I began the Reagan controversial appointments and left off with Helen Marie Taylor and the article that was in the Village Voice from 1983, how they wanted her on Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but that was turned down. She's active with Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum. She's a major contributor to evangelist Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network. Now, Pat Robertson, again, was a roommate and a pal with J. Peter Grace, who works with Otto Ambrose. That's the old Zyklon B gas, extermination gas, from Auschwitz, where the Pope worked. I must repeat these for you in case you forget it. Pat Robertson's links to J. Peter Grace and Otto Ambrose, and she gives money to Pat Robertson, and also the article left out her links to Western Goals. Every article on her has left out Western Goals, which has to do with John Singlaub on the board with her from the World Anti-Communist League, the very Nazis that Stefano Della Chiae worked with and works with today, because he's still alive. You can't get any closer. The Los Angeles Police Department, Admiral Moore, the retired admiral. Sometimes I run along too fast because I have so much material, but I want you to know that as I use these names and the appointments come up and new appointments come up and new books come out, same people, same places, different organizations, but all still working together. We'll take a one-minute break and then go back to Helen Marie Taylor, nominated for the National Council on Humanities, along with eight other people that Ronald Reagan is pushing through. And if he isn't turned down as President of the United States, he'll get all the future, maybe five of the future justices of the Supreme Court, anything controlling radio, arts, theater, and what you call humanities. This nomination coming up, of course he'll get it. And George Bush as the vice president and the election of Ronald Reagan are two of the most important, they are two of the most important characters of American history, side by side at a time that the electorate who are so abysmally stupid haven't the faintest idea of what they're putting when they put their little poker and punch that card. They don't know one name from the other. They know where Elizabeth Taylor went to see the grave of Richard Burton, but they don't know a thing about these appointments. We'll take a 1-minute break and then get back to this matter.